In the German film Nowhere in Africa, the family is under a lot of stress because they're having to escape Nazi Germany, and they do so by moving quite suddenly down to former German colonies in Africa, where they become sort of farm overseers. And in the midst of all of this, the married couple in the film is going through a great deal of stress, and the father makes the comment that this is where love is really tested, and the problem with human love is one always loves more than the other, and so it becomes a struggle. And human love, in this way and many others, is imperfect, as we know. But the love of God is perfect. And that is why, when God loves, he loves perfectly. He loves infinitely. He loves without condition. And in order for that love to be received, there has to be one to receive it who is perfect, who is infinite. And that's what we celebrate today on Trinity Sunday, the Blessed Trinity. That God is one, one in nature, but he is not a monolith. He is three persons. And if we look at the gospel today, that's exactly what Christ is talking about. That he's his own person, as the Holy Spirit is and as the Father is. But they share in the same nature. That what the Holy Spirit, when he dwells in our soul and dwells within the church, is telling us is what is already possessed by and received from the Son. And likewise, the Son, when he was sent to earth by the Father, gave us only that same nature, gave us only what he had already received from the Father. And the thing that makes the Trinity work is the love among the persons. So it's a complicated topic because it's God. And the human mind, being limited, can never completely comprehend God. It doesn't mean that we don't strive. God gives us an intellect to know him because we can only love what we know. But if we ever think that we've completely understood God, then what we're understanding is not God, because he's infinite. And so it is with the love. God is perfect in himself already. He perfectly loves, and he's able to give that love to the other persons in the Trinity, to each other. But God's love is so gratuitous that out of that love in the Trinity, he created us, imperfect though we are. For no creature can be as great as the Creator. And knowing all things and being out of time and place, God knew that we would often fall, that we would love imperfectly, not only one another, but especially him, that almost every day of our life we would fall short of the love that he had shown to us. And yet that love was so giving and so gratuitous that he chose to create us anyway. Our experience of perfect love is found then in Christ. Christ came to earth to redeem us, but also to show us through that redemption the kind of love that God has for each one of us. That perfect love is a love that is completely self-giving, that receives nothing and yet gives all, and is willing to lay down its life for the one who is loved. And when Christ shows us this love, we can only help, we can't help but want to emulate that in our lives. And we do it to more or less perfect degrees. Saints are nothing more than people who, in a heroic way, tried to return that love to Christ, and in doing so, returned it to those around the saint. This is why even in our own lifetimes, for many of us, we can remember Mother Teresa and how she drew so many people to her in the same way that Christ did. This wasn't because of anything particular in her personality or even in the way that she helped others necessarily. But all of that was an example of the love that she was showing to others. Because the more perfectly we give out that which we receive from God, the more people are drawn to that person. And so saints have these incredible followings. The same with Thérèse of Lisieux, who was very unknown during her life. But she had an uncanny ability to write in her diary about the love that she received from God and the way that she then gave that love to others. And after she had gone to her reward, that book from that nun that never really left the four walls of her convent swept around the world. Not because it was the most poetically written book or the most learned book, but because it was a book that spoke of God's love in a real way. And so people are drawn to that. And that's how we have to respond. We have to respond to this love that we find in the Trinity, that Trinity that dwells within us, and we respond to it by giving it on to others, but to all of those who are around us. God created us for love, and we have to give that to all those that we encounter. And when we do that, we draw people to ourselves. But if it's truly the love of the Trinity, it's not just to ourselves, because we're pointing then to Christ, who in turn points to the Trinity. And so, as imperfect as our love may be, when we can unite it to the Trinity that we examine and celebrate today, then we become true disciples. And then we draw all things into that one God in three persons who is love.